But Ron was careful not to be flippant about Voldemort over the next few days. Saturday dawned without any more outbursts from Mrs. Weasley, though she seemed very tense at breakfast. Bill, who would be staying at home with Fleur, much to Hermione and Ginny's pleasure, passed a full money bag across the table to Harry. "Where's mine?" demanded Ron at once, his eyes wide.
"That's already Harry's, idiot," said Bill. "I got it out of your vault for you, Harry, because it's taking about 5 hours for the public to get to their gold at the moment. The goblins have tightened security so much. 2 days ago, Archie Philpott had a probity probe stuck up his... Well, trust me, this way's easier."
"Thanks, Bill," said Harry, pocketing his gold.
"He is always so thoughtful," purred Fleur adoringly, stroking Bill's nose.
Jimmy mimed vomiting into her cereal behind Fleur. Harry choked over his cornflakes, and Ron thumped him on the back. It was an overcast, murky day. One of the special Ministry of Magic cars, in which Harry had ridden once, was awaiting them in the front yard when they emerged from the house, pulling on their cloaks. "It's good Dad can get us these again," said Ron appreciatively, stretching luxuriously as the car moved smoothly away from the burrow, Bill and Fleur waving from the kitchen window. He, Harry, Hermione, and Ginny were sitting in roomy comfort in the wide back seat.
"Don't get used to it. It's only because of Harry," said Mr. Weasley over his shoulder.
He and Mrs. Weasley were in front with the ministry driver. The front passenger seat had obligingly stretched into what resembled a two-seater sofa.
"He's been given top-grade security status, and will be joining up with additional security at the Leaky Cauldron, too."
Harry said nothing. He did not much fancy doing his shopping while surrounded by a battalion of aurors. He'd stowed his invisibility cloak in his backpack and felt that if it was good enough for Dumbledore, it ought to be good enough for the Ministry. Though now he came to think of it, he was not sure the Ministry knew about his cloak.
"Here you are, then," said the driver, a surprisingly short while later, speaking for the first time as he slowed in Charing Cross Road and stopped outside the Leaky Cauldron.
"I'm to wait for you. Any idea how long you'll be?"
"A couple of hours, I expect," said Mr. Weasley.
"Ah, good, he's here."
Harry imitated Mr. Weasley and peered through the window. His heart leapt. There were no aurors waiting outside the inn, but instead the gigantic, black-bearded form of Rubius Hagrid, the Hogwarts gamekeeper, wearing a long beaver-skin coat, beaming at the sight of Harry's face and oblivious to the startled stares of passing muggles.
"Harry!"
he boomed, sweeping Harry into a bone-crushing hug the moment Harry had stepped out of the car.
"Buckbeak! With the wings, I mean. You should see him, Harry. He's so happy to be back in the open air!"
"Glad he's pleased," said Harry, grinning as he massaged his ribs. "We didn't know security meant you."
"I know, just like old times, innit? See, the Ministry wanted to send a bunch of aurors, but Dumbledore said I'd do,"
said Hagrid proudly, throwing out his chest and tucking his thumbs into his pockets.
"Let's get going, then. After you, Molly. Arthur."
The Leaky Cauldron was, for the first time in Harry's memory, completely empty. Only Tom the landlord, wizened and toothless, remained of the old crowd. He looked up hopefully as they entered, but before they could speak, Hagrid said importantly,
"Just passing through today, Tom. Sure you understand. Hogwarts business, you know."
Tom nodded gloomily and returned to wiping glasses. Harry, Hermione, Hagrid, and the Weasleys walked through the bar and out into the chilly little courtyard at the back where the dustbin stood. Hagrid raised his pink umbrella and rapped a certain brick in the wall, which opened at once to form an archway onto a winding, cobbled street. They stepped through the entrance and paused, looking around. Diagon Alley had changed. The colorful, glittering window displays of spellbooks, potion ingredients, and cauldrons were lost to view, hidden behind the large Ministry of Magic posters that had been pasted over them. Most of these somber purple posters carried blown-up versions of the security advice on the Ministry pamphlets that had been sent out over the summer, but others bore moving black-and-white photographs of Death Eaters known to be on the loose. Bellatrix Lestrange was sneering from the front of the nearest apothecary. A few windows were boarded up, including those of Florian Fortescue's ice cream parlor. On the other hand, a number of shabby-looking stalls had sprung up along the street. The nearest one, which had been erected outside Flourish and Blotts, under a striped, stained awning, had a cardboard sign pinned to its front. Amulets. Effective against werewolves, dementors, and inferi.